Box to Box Media Network.
Tufail.
Yes, sir.
Is a sweep still on the table?
Cancun is still on the table, man.
Cancun, here we come! Box Out episode, I think it's 106, kalau nggak salah. We're back. Ini karena playoff, seperti biasa kita memaksakan diri untuk taping lebih sering. Apalagi kan kita juga udah ekspansi ya, Vele.
Yes, sir.
Ada anak-anak ATTL di sini. Subsidiary dari Box Out Media Network. Ada Adit aka Jemet. Jemethew, what's up?
What's up?
Dan juga ada Stats Master Abindra.
What up?
Yang sekarang kerjaannya nge-supply ini ya, dosier angka-angka gitu ya.
Sebenarnya udah beberapa kali punya label Stats Master di podcast gitu ya.
Iya.
Awalnya mungkin gue sempet dilabelin juga, cuma
right.
Beberapa.
And then you grew beyond that gitu kan.
Kayak beberapa iterasi.
Iya.
Dan kalau menurut gue sekarang.
Ternyata lo lebih black daripada Stats. That's what happened.
Nah, menurut gue ternyata label Stats Master tuh sekarang tuh sudah cocok.
Right.
Bapak Abi.
So you also saying that Abi won't grow beyond Stats?
Oh ya pasti. pasti.
That's weird. Okay. So anyway, ya kita nantikan juga ya. Maksud gue ATTL masuk ke Box Out. Juga tujuannya bukan cuma buat bantuin kita ya, tapi juga untuk menumbuhkan ATTL.
Oh jelas.
Iya, so noble gitu.
Jelas. Nanti next kalau ada misalnya NBA Indonesia nanya, Bapak Abi sama Pak Adit bisa langsung.
Iya, benar. Dan dengan mukanya ya.
Betul,
jadi kita menghadirkan visibility gitu kan.
Sama gue belum pernah gitu. Mungkin orang yang di Indonesia nih mau lihat background check, lihat Twitter account gue, ini siapa gitu.
Right.
Orangnya gak ada, followernya gak banyak, yaudah lah gak usah.
Iya kok mukanya kayak Stringer Bell di Dwyer gitu ya. Okay, you know what, before kita masuk ke dalam pembahasan soal basket, NBA obviously, that's our bread and butter. I must say, rasanya gue sudah pernah bilang ini di episode sebelumnya bahwa gue ingin sedikit lebih memasukkan basket lokal. Ternyata, yang menarik adalah, di antara mulainya first round NBA playoffs dan selesainya NBA first round playoffs di NBA, rata playoffs IBL selesai. Cepat sekali pace-nya ya. Itu kayak playoff dengan pace-nya D'Antoni lah, at its finest gitu. Selamat bagi SM Pertamina yang meraih gelar juara ke-11. Menang 2-1 melawan the team from our hood, from my hood ya. Yeah. Ini kita lagi di Mega Kuningan, so this is PJ Pelita Jaya Bakri Territory. Ujung-ujungnya I think it was a pretty close series. Yang bagi gue, the defining aspect dari gue sekelibat nonton adalah zone defense-nya PJ. Itu yang gue paling notice, and I think they got punished by it, although a few times they tried to evade it. Tapi credit juga buat SM karena di final Arki itu kena foul trouble. Arki tuh bagi gue tuh, kalau kita suka bilang LeBron bully ball, nah Arki tuh bully ball man. Tiap kali masuk ke paint area tuh perpeloncoan, tau gak lo? Perpeloncoan level budut tuh lo. Gue ngeliatnya gitu kayak, hey, gitu kumplang gitu.
Arki
tuh
umur berapa?
33 apa?
So I think he's not that far off from LeBron's.
Oh dikit lagi Wash King tuh.
Hebe tuh, I'm the washed bully gitu kan. Veteran. Gitu kan, straight from Queens kan deh. So anyway, selamat ya Kelapa Gading mengalahkan Kuningan. Dan gue juga pas gue post di akun Box to Box ID, ada yang bilang ini ceritanya BUMN mengalahkan swasta. Aduh, tapi badan usaha milik Mark Cuban, sayangnya sekarang harus berliburan dari Dallas ke Cancun yang lo bilang tadi. To fail, yeah. It was, ini bagi gue ya, ini pendapat gue ya. Menurut gue pada akhirnya ini seriesnya adalah Clippers lawan Doncic. Any way you wanna spin it. Like the level of Doncic's involvement in any action. His team bled so much ketika dia gak main gitu. I think probably hasilnya akan berbeda if he could play 49 minutes every game. Ultimately Clippers menurut gue, it was their death. Especially di game 7 yang membuat mereka akhirnya lolos. Tapi gue, kalau gue jadi fans Dallas, terlepas dari kekurangan yang obvious, pandemic Porzingis, gue ngerasa sih pada akhirnya sudah melampaui ekspektasi ya Mavericks ya.
Yeah.
What do you think?
I think you hit the right point dengan bilang series ini mungkin Clippers versus Doncic gitu. Kita juga lihat dari sepanjang series ini gimana, yang sangat menarik sih ngelihat bagaimana coverage yang di dilempar istilahnya sama Clippers buat nge-contain Doncic dari game 1 sampai ke game 7 tuh bisa dibilang berpindah-pindah dan gak stick ke satu skema yang itu-itu aja gitu. Dan gue juga menurut gue overall conclusion dari series ini adalah the better team won gitu. Itu udah menurut gue udah tidak bisa ditahbiskan lagi. Dan menurut gue yang gue suka dari series ini juga adalah the back and forth adjustment dari kedua coach gitu. Yang menurut gue Tyronn Lue tuh menurut gue dapat apa di series ini keren banget. Dia menurut gue datang ke series ini dengan plan, yaitu mungkin game satu game kedua dia masih konservatif dengan mendare Luka Doncic to make those crazy step backs, which in Doncic credit he made them dan ngebuat skema defense Clippers itu dirubah lagi. Mulai game ketiga menitnya Zubac dan Beverly itu udah hampir nggak ada.
Oh, Pat Bev lagi cuti ya, dia ke Cancun duluan ya.
Ke Cancun duluan, bener.
Iya.
Dan apalagi di game 6, game 7 tuh Zubac menitnya udah gak hampir, udah gak sama sekali. Udah gak bareng sama Doncic gitu. Itu, that's one of the adjustment dari, apa?
Tyron. I did see a lot more. Gue belum ngecek angkanya, karena kan biasanya matchup itu keluarnya paling belakangan ya. Yep. Kalau lo di NBA. I did feel like I saw a lot more possessions di mana ya Doncic dijagain sama orang yang harusnya menjaga dia sih sebenarnya.
Iya, dan ini sih menurut gue itu juga kredit ke apa Tyronn Lue juga. Dia menyadari kalau the way to stop the Mavericks and stop to at least slow down Doncic is to play a small lineup gitu. Gue juga sempat nge-tweet juga kalau the Clippers need to play an all wing lineup for 40 plus minutes.
Oh, ini lo lagi validasi.
Yeah, okay. Dan itu beneran dipakai dan iya itu kejadian begitu si Clippers mainin all wing lineup dan yaudah itu memang kelemahannya Mavs sepanjang musim adalah melawan small lineup. Kenapa? Karena Doncic ini memang sejago-jagonya dia kalau emang ketemu wing yang at least size-nya sama dan punya a bit of power itu bisa at least defender itu bisa keep Doncic in front of him gitu.
The funny thing is this though, Fel, ya. And yang lain juga boleh chime in ya. Gue ngerasa setelah itu counter adjustment salah satu dari si siapa? Rick Carlisle ya. Obviously that was the zone and switching it up yang membuat Clippers sempat tidak nyaman. But it's a make or miss league. Yes. Ultimately when you make your shots, then that scheme is rendered obsolete ya. I actually like the fact that they sort of went, they doubled up on going big.
Yeah.
Cuman gue ngerasa ya, gue tetap ngerasa tuh again, and we will go to this, KP and to a lesser extent Boban, because what is expected of Boban itu harusnya barbecue chicken man lawan small lineup itu especially going forward.
Iya, menurut gue sih tepat banget kalau bilang kita nge-single out KP deh istilahnya. Menurut gue KP ini ekspektasinya kan udah lumayan tinggi dan yang membuat Mark Cuban mungkin pede untuk memperpanjang kontrak dia dan even publicly bilang we want to keep them both together for a long time adalah the ability to for KP to punish switches gitu loh. Ketika Doncic melakukan pick and roll dan melawan small lineup yang pasti di switch, itu harusnya adalah momen di mana KP take advantage of that switch dan ternyata di playoffs ini dia tidak menunjukkan bukti yang konkret kalau dia bisa melakukan hal itu secara efektif dan itu yang pada akhirnya slow down the Mavericks offense yang memang harus Mavericks offense ini memang sudah punya standar yang harus tinggi karena defense mereka itu nggak sebagus itu. So when they're not producing those offense, defense mereka pun juga akan merugi gitu istilahnya. Jadi itu sebenarnya peran KP itu harusnya masuk di situ. Makanya mungkin di off season nanti mungkin PR terbesarnya Mavericks front office kalau mau keep Doncic happy dan keep contending deep into the playoffs adalah mencari second shot creator outside of Doncic yang bisa create his own shots when ketika offense stagnan, ketika lawan small lineup deh. Small lineup begitu udah semua nge-switch, pick and roll udah gak bisa jalan, ya lu mau ngapain kalau gak beat your defender one on one gitu loh. Itu sebenarnya perannya KP yang harus dilakukan. Boban tadi lo mention juga memang bisa punish those switches, cuma Boban itu bukan pemain yang lu tenang untuk memainkan dia 30 menit dan signifikan itu lu gak tenang mainin Boban itu. Karena di secara defense dia tuh lebih kayak kon parkiran aja gitu. You can run around him dan he's not a rim protector.
Yeah, he looks so fragile actually for a guy that size.
Then for Rick Carlisle going to zone defense with KP and Boban tuh lebih, it says a lot about the deficiencies of those two players gitu loh. Jadi kayak yaudah lah, gue mesti mainin dua orang ini to keep up the offense. Cuma defense saking babuk, yaudah gue main zone aja. Dan zone menurut gue, semakin lama lo, the deeper you go, you play zone deeper into the series, semakin menurun efektivitasnya sebagai defense. Karena you figure out those overloads, you play ball screen sedikit. Dan Clippers tuh di game 7 udah tahu banget bagaimana ngelihat apa gimana ngancurin zone-nya Dallas.
It kind of felt like SM lawan PJ game 1. They just move the ball around they hit open shots. And I think they had a lot of assists.
Then at the end, to beat zone defense, you have to make your threes. Dan game 7 tuh kejadian. Then that's what happened. Then yeah, so overall the better team won.
And kalau kita ngomongin the better team, that's a team with not only Kawhi Leonard and Paul George, who had a lot of assists. Paul George, yes. I saw him, right? But also Terrence Mann.
Terrence Mann, the man. Trying to be the man in game 6.
Reggie Jackson, no, but he's not the man.
Okay,
and then gue menyayangkan. I mean, I thought he was a man. Tapi gue menyayangkan hari ini gak ada Gama because the man was Luke Kennard.
Yeah. Udah gue panggil-panggil seafood ya. Habis game 2. Jadi masuk mulu tribun.
This is the revenge of Gyukaku sebenarnya.
Sebenarnya.
Seafoodnya bikin sakit perut.
Keracunan ya. Anyway, you want to add to that? Mungkin dari sisi Clippers ya, were there any interesting numbers or statistics yang fly out? What sort of stuck out to you, Manby?
I think their starters got outscored. I think when they're on the court, kan? -6 kalau nggak salah setahu gue. Tapi ketika Luke Kennard and Terrence Mann came in, they brought energy. Kennard brought his corner shooting and juga made smart passes. And yeah, I think that's just the adjustment that Tyronn Lue made. And I think yeah, credit to them as well. But I gotta say, yang gue suka dari Clippers ini juga adalah Nick Batum. I mean, you gotta give him props. I mean, like people say that he's washed up. The Charlotte Hornets udah nggak jelas, 29 million a year. My friend here is one of the Batum's biggest fan, ya.
Oh iya.
Yep.
But I mean, Jamet ini emang punya ini ya, pension terhadap pemain-pemain yang agak rada-rada ya.
Gonzo.
Iya.
Pemain-pemain AG tuh butuh sorotan sebenarnya.
I mean like, kita juga udah punya rencana mau bikin all IQ team.
Oh.
And Batum is kind of the front runner buat masuk ke tim itu. Karena he's so smart. I mean, he plays with a lot of savviness dan kawan-kawan kan.
Gue notice tuh sebenarnya he actually didn't do that bad. Although menurut gue ini gak sustainable. But he didn't do that bad as a five kadang-kadang.
No, because he's super long kan.
Yeah.
And he can also kind of timingnya juga impeccable menurut gue. Kayak blocking shots, boxing out.
Batum zaman di Portland dulu tuh ahead of his time loh.
Swiss Army knife.
Playmaking 4, stretch 4, can play multiple positions. Keren gitu.
Gamal's really having fits eh? Listening to this conversation gitu. Tapi ultimately I think, you hit the hammer on the nail. The better team won. I mean, it is as expected. Gue, like ketika lo nonton fourth quarternya, you are a bit impressed. But if you go back where we were sebelum series ini dimulai, it's expected. Kayak memang, gue tuh terkadang tuh agak bingung ya. Let's try to compare Clippers sekarang sama zaman dulu. From a coaching standpoint, jelas lebih competent, right? But do you really think, dan emang kayaknya okay, the stars are showing up. It is the first round. It's not a second round matchup like in the bubble ngelawan Denver, yeah. Cuman, do you think they have really progressed?
Compared to last season ya?
Yeah.
Sebenarnya kalau misalkan ngelihat dari personel jelas kan, maksudnya PR dari kemarin adalah gak ada orang selain Kawhi dan Paul George yang bisa anchoring di offense especially gitu.
Okay.
Kan. Meskipun menurut gue pribadi sebenarnya ekspektasi buat Kawhi dan Paul George harusnya mereka bisa fulfill itu kan. Yang dimana di beberapa game awal kemarin kelihatan gitu kan. Jadi props to Reggie Jackson juga. Di beberapa game awal basically anchoring that offense yang dimana who would expect Reggie Jackson di tahun 2021 masih capable of doing that gitu loh.
Gue tuh sebenarnya sih engap kan gini ya, ini kan kita melihat Clippers gue rasa teman kita Pangeran Siahan punya vested interest ya di dalam tim ini ya, karena ada beberapa ex pemain Detroit kan, right? Apa ya, dia tuh pernah bilang ke gue, Reggie Jackson ini star syndrome, ngerasa dia ini alpha gitu. Malah menurut gue dalam indikator kealfaan dia lebih alpha daripada Paul George, mentalitinya ya. I didn't say Paul George had a bad series at all, but I'm just saying, you can still question his alphaness. Okay. Nah, cuman gue tuh ngerasa tuh kayak Reggie Jackson itu adalah pemain yang when he gets hot, he needs to know when to cool down internally gitu loh. Because he's gonna get streaky, he's gonna shoot like 3-4 three-pointers again. But he has to know not to take the fifth three-pointer. Because if that shit breaks, then udah habis, it's gonna go down from there. Jadi emang dia tuh emang benar-benar pemain yang harus tahu bahwa kalau ibaratnya ini Backstreet Boys, gue bukan Nick Carter. Gitu. Kalau ini Westlife, gue tuh si Kian Egan. Kian gitu. Gue tuh bukan
dapat part ya.
Iya. Dan kalau dapat juga cuma verse levelnya. Karena dia enggak punya skill vokal buat rap gitu. Jadi enggak mungkin dia dikasih nada tinggi kayak misalnya siapa tuh namanya Brian, enggak mungkin dikasih Shane. Bagian powerful kayak Mark atau 80% dari lagunya kayak Shane gitu kan. Kayak he needs to know I'm a good Kian, you need a Kian.
Kalau di dalam NSYNC Lance Bass deh.
Benar. Like you can see him, but he's not taking the parts, but he's singing that bass.
Yes.
Gitu kan. He's setting the bass, right? So yeah, so you need Reggie Jackson to set the bass for the team gitu kan. yeah, but anyway, anything else you want to add about the Clippers before kita bahas satu hal lagi tentang series ini yang wajib dibahas.
Jadi ya sesimpel fakta bahwa Ty Lue itu rekor di game 7-nya masih perfect kan sampai hari ini kan.
Interesting.
7-0. Yeah. Jadi kayak terlepas dari gue pun orang yang suka bashing Ty Lue ya. Karena dia tidak terlihat seperti seorang.
He looks clueless sometimes.
Iya kan? Iya tapi.
Ya gue rasa ini itu sebenarnya efek 20 tahun gak sih? Efek dilangkahin dulu gak sih kayak.
Waktu lain kan juga mukanya clueless banget sih kayak.
Iya. Padahal he just happened to be in the way. Allen Iverson ditanya tentang itu kayak, man I didn't mean that to insult him gitu kan. Berteman mereka kan. So anyway, Ty Lue, game 7, immaculate.
Jadi apa namanya, dengan gimana caranya Ty Lue ngejalanin semua pertandingan di game 7, ya we have to give him props lah. Terlepas dari ya terlihat clueless, but ya. The stat says that he's won all of his game 7 sejauh ini.
I think ini kali ya, mungkin kalau gue tarik lebih sedikit lebih ke belakang, I think just to add on to what you're saying, it's the poise. Knowing when to make those changes. Karena kayak Tufel bilang kan, kita pun, gue pun bereaksi terhadap beberapa hal yang tidak dia lakukan di game 1 sama 2 gitu. He probably knew that more than any one of us, but he took his time to eventually do that. Ya, karena memang mungkin juga gitu kali ya. Kalau kita mau ngomongin adu taktikal sebagai main kartu, ya lu nge-counter kartu juga gak boleh kecepetan. Gitu loh.
He's good at playing the long game.
Nah oke. Speaking about the long game, speaking about the future, but we have to talk about the future that is happening right now. Luka Doncic is the shit, man. Gue, you know what? This dude, I mean, stats aside and freakish involvement in the game aside, yeah. Dude's always smiling, man.
Yeah.
Like, lu 22 tahun, if correct me if I'm wrong. 22. Dan lu lagi menghadapi dua orang wing defender, paling sangar lah ya, di NBA. And you still look like you have a good time doing it, right? I mean look, Pat Bev kan udah kayak who let the dogs out gitu kan. Dikandangin tuh anjing gitu kan. Iya gak sih kayak.
Masih gak dapet menit game 6
itu. Menurut gue apa yang Luka dilakukan terhadap Pat Bev itu jauh lebih parah daripada Westbrook tau gak sih lu?
Iya.
Kayak he's not even responding. Well he had that one, he's too little. Like he did that to Pat Bev gini. Ini orang yang gak masuk draft main ke Ukraina, man. Like in the cold of the winter,
kalo
man.
Kalau kata Jason Concepcion itu bisa dibilang rasis tuh. Apa yang dilakukan Luka ke Pat Bev saking violent deh.
So nonchalant. It's so nonchalant. Like tadi kita ngomong, Pat Bev itu masih menu Jukaku. Dia sudah menu yang, kok ini gue makan, kok gue gak kenyang-kenyang gitu. Tapi gampang gitu. Yeah, I mean Luka's just crazy. And also, even when he cannot pull things off, I still believe he's doing the right thing. Mm-hmm. Like every play is the right option.
Yep.
Tadi gue denger sih yang soal si Jeff Van Gundy ya, who is on fire ya tadi pagi ya di ESPN yang dibilang whiteness. I kind of sway to him sih. Emang menurut gue tuh what Luka is and will always be adalah melampaui ekspektasi. So he's not the fastest, but his speed is faster than your expectation, and that is enough. Gitu loh. His IQ is better than your expectation, and that is enough. His strength is better than your expectation. I mean, dude's thick, man. And maksud gue kan, Kawhi is a strong motherfucker, gitu. Tapi kok gue ngerasa in these physical battles, yeah, it seems like Luka is actually, Kayak gue gak yakin kalau dia panco sama Kawhi, yang menang Kawhi loh.
Hmm.
Although Kawhi has a, like a bigger grip, and he has that this that that bone sticking out on his right shoulder, that freaky piece gitu ya, like a spinosaurus gitu. Cuma kayak Luka man, it's crazy. Kayak more than ever, gue benar-benar percaya bahwa he is the face of the NBA going forward. I know there's Tatum, I know there's Giannis, but just Luka is on a different plane, man.
Yeah, dan gue sih menurut gue yang sangat mengimpress gue ya musim ini tentang Luka adalah how gimana tuh dia bisa add some tools on his offensive Rolodex gitu istilahnya. Mm. At age 22 gitu loh, di in his third playoffs tuh, dan dia bisa kalau lihat di series ini how he manipulates dan how he operates in the mid range area itu gila man.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Itu gila untuk umur semuda itu. Mm. And he can develop those apa, he drives to the rim then stop, turn around, one legged fadeaway at age 22.
Mm-hmm.
Itu gue gak melihat ada yang se-advance itu. Footworknya kalau lihat di inside,
mm-hmm,
his pump fakes and his step through itu gila. He can dia juga udah punya post game yang bisa diaplikasikan di playoff.
Mm.
Itu juga gila. LeBron tuh belum punya post game sampai tahun 2011.
Right.
2012.
And
dia udah punya.
And gak ada bukti bahwa dia mengunjungi vilanya Hakim Olajuwon buat melakukan itu kan.
Right. Itu udah klise banget.
Yeah. Cuma ya, like you don't need to go to the school of Olajuwon when you have Dirk. Like,
oh iya, yeah.
Dirk sama si Professor Holger.
Yeah. So I mean like mad props ya. Gue tuh juga notice ya, ini mungkin I'm seeing things ya. His shot, when it doesn't go in, it sort of has this like soft bounce. Dimana gue yakin sometimes itu pasti akan dapat shooter's roll gitu loh.
Mm-hmm.
Right? It's just, okay, just cetek, keluar gitu. Gak yang clank jauh gitu loh.
He's not an amazing three-point shooter, tapi when he, apa?
Needs it.
When he needs it, dia tuh bisa tahu timing yang tepat untuk mana yang bisa dimasukin gitu.
He still has ini sih, apa namanya, this weird weakness, which is glaring.
It's fucking weird, man. Dia free throw shooting itu aneh banget.
Itu aku juga gak ngerti.
Gue gak ngerti gimana jelasin itu.
Mungkin gini kali ya, dia terlalu sering latihan, dengan a hand in his face gitu loh, kayak atau ada dua orang yang jagain gitu kan, atau Boban taro apa namanya your elbow in front of me gitu, sehingga kita gak ada apa-apa tuh aneh tau gak loh, it's just awkward gitu, huh? Nothingness gitu, and that just sort of apa ya, just makes him off guard. Tapi That's so fixable.
Fixable. DeAndre Jordan so aja fixable. Bisa di fix.
Kalau menurut gue dia harus step back free throw-nya.
Step back satu dulu.
Speaking of step back, sebuah tim yang ternyata mengalami sebuah step back adalah Sixers. Kalah ya melawan Hawks. What did you make di preview-nya ATTL kali ya, Dit ya, about this series? Gue semua lupa sih, kayak rasanya lu ada deh lu bikin preview soal ini. Dan kalau dari sampel satu pertandingan, mana yang terbukti? Kan sini setengah main, offensive explosion ya. Itu sangat-sangat dini hari, jadi gue bener-bener like, I think I was watching Bad Batch atau apa gitu. And then I switched near the fourth quarter, gue pengen liat residu-residunya aja gitu. And then tiba-tiba, Sixers, gue bingung ini pelatihnya Doc Rivers apa Jurgen Klopp. Yeah. Because they were pressing so high. I mean lebih ketat daripada spandex anak sepeda tau gak lo. Like woof ke depan gitu. And tiba-tiba it became very close ya. Yeah. Lalu bisa juga the damage was done. Mungkin gapnya udah terlalu jauh in the first place. Tapi Kevin Huerter terlihat sangat gak nyaman dikepung sama two black dudes dengan tangan yang sangat panjang. I mean ultimately he did make one correct play which helped untuk ngeblow up pertandingannya. But from dari apa yang lo lihat, you know, the offensive firepower of the Hawks dan akhirnya defense-nya Sixers yang telat bangun, kalau menurut gue, what kind of conclusions can we take from that game?
Both are unsustainable menurut gue, karena
I think
just hitting, I think group up 40% of your 3-point shots against Sixers, you won't do that in 2 games in a row lah, for my point of view.
Yeah, I mean nanti Thibault is just gonna lock Trae Young up. Yeah.
And also kayak sedikit yang unik adalah that particular offensive explosion itu I think happened when Doc Rivers menurunkan all bench
rotasi.
Lineup. Rotasinya salah. I don't know, because mungkin dia mau pengen, okay, I wanna take it easy on Embiid.
Okay.
or like rest might start and kawan-kawan. Tapi kayak I think that he made that wrong rotation. And then mereka minus 10, that just blew the game up. So, and then there's also, I think they had 9 turnovers in the first quarter. And then Doc Rivers kayak ngomong kayak, oi ini yang bener dong, jangan turnover lagi quarter 2. And then 3 straight plays for to begin the second, 3 turnovers.
Classic Ben Simmons problem.
The best. And then yeah, free throw line struggles juga gak membantu. Yeah.
Okay, so anyway, itu kan dari yang lo simpulkan tadi, that means one obvious adjustment is not rotating that much, right? Dimana kalau dia ngotot, kan dia sangat ngotot deh ketika lawan Denver musim lalu kan, with that lo mainin Montrezl Harrell gitu kan. Obviously this time around kalau ada apa-apa, there's Daryl Morey yang bakal gedok pintu dari atas. Cuman, apart from that, kan yang sisa duanya lagi, hitting your free throws, turnovers, that's a matter of execution. Yeah. Kecuali you use Ben Simmons in a different way. Is there any other things they can adjust going into game two?
I think playing with the same intensity sih. Dan don't dig yourself at big of a hole. Karena mereka emang steady regular season, turnovernya adalah penyakit. Jadi basically, kalau misalnya lu bisa nggak create 12 turnovers in the first 15 minutes, I think you're good. You're gonna cruise.
So you gotta kill the bird early lah, basically ya, gitu. Kalau di sisi Hawks, which again ya, ini menjadi tim kedua favorit gue, despite of Nate McMillan. Shit, Nate McMillan's winning playoff series with the Hawks. Maybe the problem emang Indiana ya. Trae Young, I love Trae Young mah. Kayak he's masuk ke liga orang bilang ini anak kayak Steph Curry. I'm sorry, his attitude is Reggie Miller. Dia Reggie Miller man, kayak dia tuh mencari permusuhan malah. Kalau gue ngelihat deh, kayak Steph itu orang baik ya. Kalau Trae Young ternyata dia he gets energy dari ngeprovokasi crowd untuk kebenci dia. Kalau WWE dia jadi heel-nya lah basically gitu.
Tapi kalau lu suka sama Trae Young, nah Abi ini nggak suka nih sama Trae Young.
Oh kenapa?
I'm shaking my head. I just don't Abi like the style suka. Of play yang ini ya.
Kenapa?
I just don't like it.
Okay,
rambut kayaknya sih.
The hairline is ugly. The hairline. Tapi okay, you're the stats master. Hit me up with why exactly lo gak suka.
Oh, nothing. I mean, statistically he's super, super nice.
Okay.
I mean, like he's efficient. He gets to the free throw line. That's super important kalau jadi point guard dengan badan kecil. Tapi it's just, I just don't like the way he moves. I just see, it's just.
The moves?
No, I mean like. There's fundamental
bentukan
flaws.
Yeah, bentukannya.
No,
nothing. I mean it's not like a mechanic Lonzo kind of thing.
No. Nothing against his basketball, but just the combination. I don't want to go into physics.
Like, you just hate it.
I just hate him.
Okay, because I obviously kan kalau gue kan gini loh. This goes back to my Reggie Miller comparison. Reggie Miller juga fisiknya awful man. Iya kan ceking. Justru gue seneng melihat ini orang ceking tuh kayak gak ada hak untuk bisa jago gitu. Kayak fuck you all gitu. Kayak jangan-jangan apa yang lo benci tentang dia itu adalah apa yang gue suka lagi.
Maybe. Karena ya gue lebih suka yang kayak what my man said about me. Gue lebih konvensional, lebih konservatif. Not in a political way but in a basketball way.
Are you sure, bro?
In a political way?
No, man.
To the left or to the right, bro?
To the left. Three lives matter, you. Tapi maksud gue kayak, oh man, this guy, ya kayak, he wants to be Steph, but in a way that's less efficient.
Gini ya. Kalau lu main Street Fighter, there's only one Ryu. The second one is called Evil Ryu, Dark Ryu. Right? So I skew to the darkness, man. You need those villains. But anyway, point taken. We shall have another clash in another episode. Hitam melawan putih. Lo bisa menjelaskan Trae Young dan Atlanta Hawks dengan lebih abu-abu gak?
Gitu. Tapi ini sih, gue sepertinya bisa menebak kenapa Abi gak suka sebenarnya.
Kenapa?
Karena Trae Young tuh kan kayak tadi dia bilang kan, dia pengen banget jadi Steph gitu loh. Jadi kayak ada that sense of poser sebenarnya kan. Jadi as I know my man, he doesn't like poser.
Okay.
Jadi ya mungkin dari situ gitu.
Cuma, tapi kan ATM amati tiru modifikasi. Modifikasinya adalah dia versi jahat. Sama kalau perlu versi lebih jelek lah. Steph is lumayan lah.
Fine looking light skin.
Iya. Ibunya cantik. Genetik dari ibunya ya.
Shout out light skin.
Sonya Curry.
Light skin ini kurang terekspos di sini sepertinya.
Let's make that.
Less melanin. Less melanin bro.
Gue baru tahu Jamet itu light skin approver kan. I'm more light skin supporter.
Karena orang-orang terlalu apa ya, terlalu memikirkan putih dan itu hitam kan.
Dulu dia di DC Channel.
Berarti dia pakai pelek khusus.
Oh my god. Enggak, dulu dia di apa namanya, gue lupa nih, keluarin apa di DC Channel, nontonnya That's So Raven, man.
Iya.
Ya kan namanya juga Jamet kan. Harus melihat yang campuran gitu kan. Tapi anyway, basketball, Atlanta Hawks. So what is this light skin nonsense, man?
Yeah, kalau misalkan nggak teriak kan juga sebenarnya he exceeds expectations kan. Maksudnya nggak ada yang nyangka bahwa di series playoff pertama dia, dia bisa excel kayak gini gitu loh. Maksudnya even lawan Knicks yang bisa dibilang.
Ya kalau itu gue udah menyangka lah, come on Lights and Knicks.
It's a tough matchup even for him gitu kan. Cuman dia tetap bisa melakukan his usual routine gitu kan. Dan yang agak kaget dengan Trae Young dan Hawks specifically gitu kan. Maksudnya kan kita selalu mention bahwa terlalu dalam kan rosternya kan. Dan somewhat, gue sih sebenarnya tadi gak nonton ya. Cuman based on yang gue lihat cuman dari modal box score doang gitu kan. Maksudnya di scoring spreadnya even gitu loh. Yang gimana rasanya.
Bogdanovich.
Bogey, Lou Williams gitu kan. To a lesser extent gitu kan. Cuman maksudnya adalah, yang bisa dijadikan patokan buat Hawks ke beberapa game ke depan adalah gimana caranya sustain itu kan, meskipun ya based on sample size yang di regular season, di playoffs, di first round kemarin juga belum begitu kelihatan kan. Tapi kalau misalkan mereka bisa keep that up, menurut gue even dengan defense level sekali bersixers itu gak bakal gampang gitu loh, karena kayak lu mencoba spotting Trae, lu mencoba spotting John Collins, tapi lu masih punya orang-orang lain yang dimana bisa give that out 12 points per game, dan itu bakal susah gitu loh, to keep with that four quarters gitu, in the 7 game series juga.
Kuncinya Furk and Korkmaz berarti ya. Eh sebenarnya deh, boleh gak saya tracking, gue tiba-tiba teringat sesuatu ya, karena ini kita lagi ngomongin Philly, and it just pop into my head, ini sorry kalau ritme podcastnya agak terganggu ya, cuman Philly kan dulu timnya JJ Redick ya. Did he actually, is he still on the Mavericks team?
Iya. Masih.
Masih.
Tapi karena cedera, dia gak
main. Oh cedera. Oh so that's why he was podcasting the whole time ya. Eh?
Yes.
Okay, I was just questioning like, wait a second, why is this dude, okay, apakah is he unplayable? Oh ternyata cedera.
Cedera.
Okay, so that's why you became a podcaster, because you're still injured. Okay, lanjut lagi. What else can be taken dari at least Atlanta? Dia tuh, persentase tiga angkanya was berapa? 40% ya? Eh?
No, I think 30-ish high lah, high 30-ish.
30-ish high.
20 out of 47.
Okay, then how did the Sixers defend against that di game tadi? Were there a lot of good contests atau mostly open shots?
I think it's, yeah, mix. Kadang-kadang there's open shots, but just the shot making ability yang tadi emang differentiator banget sih. Karena again, Bogdan Bogdanovic, we thought he was gonna be a bust kan, awal musim cederaan dan kawan-kawan, but then he exploded at the end of the season, he peaked at the right time, and now he's balling with the Hawks, dan hitting those kind of elaborate schemes from, not elaborate schemes, tapi quite simple, karena you go over pick and roll, and someone help, karena Capela sama Collins kan, so one can flare out to the 3-point line, one rim runs so hard, you need to help.
Definisi perannya sangat jelas ya.
Jangan jelas banget. That's why it's super apa? It's simple but you can't stop it loh, karena
Kevon Looney.
Terus ya udah di ujung ada Bogdan Bogdanovic, lalu ya either get that second pass atau get that free shot from the corner.
You know, I'm just gonna shoot this karena gue tidak nonton si Bogdanovic much ya. So dia tuh, when did he exactly get injured ya? Dia cedera tuh?
Dia awal musim kayak game ke-10 gitu.
Okay, ini
injury.
Separah apa jadinya ya?
Waktu itu sih kita kira he's gonna be out for the season, karena he was helped off the court by his teammates and kawan-kawan.
Oh okay.
Tapi abis itu kira dia, he came back.
Gue tuh sempat berpikir, what if this is gonna sound like a left field take ya. What if with the context of how the season and the lack of rest happens ya. Like what if misalnya Lakers tuh, LeBron would have benefited dari cedera kecil di awal musim man. Because kan alasannya kan itu kan, apa namanya, gak ada rest buat tim-tim yang di bubble. Although kayaknya Nuggets sudah berlindung dengan alasan itu ya. Nuggets melangkahi ini ya, Dame Lillard, and they're sort of, jadi sebenernya Gamal tuh harusnya ikut episode ini, but he's feeling really mellow right now, jadi gak kita ajak with all of the news kan dari Stotts cabut. There's gonna be a whole coaching merry-go-round in the offseason, maybe already right now. And Dame is like, okay, is it time for Dame to move on? Karena dia sudah memberikan segalanya, but Nuggets akan ketemu Suns yang menyingkirkan Lakers, and we'll talk a little bit about the Lakers going forward. Cuman Nuggets lawan Suns, this matchup, kok hati kecil gue merasa kayaknya Chris Paul bisa masuk conference final deh kayaknya.
Someone's laughing.
Kayaknya bisa deh.
Bisa kok, bisa.
I mean, I know Anthony Davis cedera lawan Suns, but DeAndre Ayton had a great series. Walaupun dia suka dikadal-kadalin ya sama si Jokic ya, kalau ketemu di regular season ya, cuman it gotta happen sometimes. Devin Booker is real. How do you see? Udah ada previewnya belum? Itu dia. Sang gue enak nih kalau gue belum baca nih, gue langsung. Hey guys, lu udah ada filenya nggak? It's like having a library. Kayak, hey, gimana? What does your file say about this series?
Uniquely, they have similar stats on the offense. Pace-nya lambat, points per game-nya bahkan cuma beda 0,2. Offensive rating-nya sama persis.
That's a sign of a team with a good floor general ya. Pace-nya lambat.
Yep.
Bisa main di half court soalnya. Yep.
Karena ya satu, tapi badannya 6 foot, yang lagi badannya 6'11".
That's yes.
6 foot with a 12-inch dick. Pause.
Wah, kan lari-lari gak pakai masker, diikutin paparazzi, liat gak sih lo?
Yeah,
he just got running out.
Yeah, man.
Okay, you know what? I'm gonna say this, yeah. I do not believe Chris Paul is the best player on the banana boat. I do not believe he is the best point guard of all time. But you can make a very strong case just right now. He's a bigger alpha than LeBron James, man.
Lanjut bi.
Yeah, the series is gonna go. I think it's gonna be methodical offense. No fast pace. This team probing. Chris Paul does lah. They probing to the paint, muter-muter, and then go for that mid-range jumper. Cuman again, the series hinges on the health of his shoulder kan. I mean, if he's not fully healthy, the Nuggets can easily stop him. Karena the Nuggets serve, ini Nuggets itu menarik, karena mereka bend but do not break. They survived, I think 2 atau 3 ya. 3 50 point performance dari lawannya, tapi tetap menang.
Yeah.
In the last 2 years of playoffs. Mereka sekarang jadi 2 tim yang kebobolan 3 point paling banyak satu series. Tahun lalu sama Donovan Mitchell, sekarang tahun ini sama Damian Lillard. But they still win.
Okay, And why is that? What do they do enough to win kalau begitu?
I think karena staminanya menurut gue ini sih, they have good stamina karena mereka base latihan di atas gunung kan. I think that's road one court for sure.
Advantage. Altitude.
Altitude kan. Road court advantage juga dan kawan-kawan.
Yeah, tapi kan Phoenix biasa latihan di padang pasir, man.
Oksigennya beda.
Kayak sequence-nya ini, man, si Michael B. Jordan di Creed 2 kan. Yang pakai, yeah man, he was like training di Tijuana atau di mana gitu. It looks like Phoenix. For all I know, Paul George lagi, Chris Paul, minum darah kobra, man. Gue tau lah, shit man.
Tapi dia, he's going vegan juga kan.
Yes.
Plant-based. But tapi I think, again, they have the stamina.
Suka makan Burger King sih ya, kalau gitu. Dia gak bisa. Oh enggak, Burger King udah bisa.
Tapi kebanyakan emping, makanya dia ini, shouldernya sakit.
Yeah, but basically.
Maksud gue adalah, it's gonna be, ini kalau if you're kind of that basketball player, you're gonna enjoy kayak the ball movement and all that stuff.
Okay.
And you're gonna enjoy Campazzo against Chris Paul.
Whoa, the shit housing.
Shit housing campaign. Yeah,
USA against the world, man. Wah, shit sih. Yeah, bogus. That is a storyline. Now I worry for Chris Paul's shoulder.
Now
I worry, man.
Ini video reviewnya series ini pasti banyak banget pasti.
Yeah, man. Like ini gue tuh takut Chris Paul nasibnya kayak Muhammad Salah ketemu Sergio Ramos di final Liga Champions.
Possible.
Ditarik ke dia bahunya.
tapi enggak sih. Gue tetap ngerasa ya. I don't know what your stats is saying. Cuman gue ngerasa just the Suns team lebih balanced. Yeah. I would sort of probably still believe more dengan si Denver kalau misalnya pemain-pemain dia yang cedera itu main. And defense-nya Phoenix for me lawan Lakers was better than I expected. Melawan sebuah tim yang menurut gue was probably their worst matchup sebenarnya with the length and the size. They're active, they're disruptive. They knew kapan harus mempercepat pertandingan, kapan memperlambat pertandingan. Yeah, turnovers can be a problem. And they have that one player yang tiba-tiba bisa I mean, yeah, Jokic will always explode. That's expected. But then Devin Booker can go supernova. And I don't know exactly who's going to cause him problems on a defensive side ketika ketemu Nuggets. What do you think, Did?
Sebelum gue jawab, props on supernova dong.
Kenapa supernova?
Enggak, kalau gue tadi ngetawain Latskin maksudnya.
Bukan. Oh enggak, gue karena supernova.
Kenapa gue gak suka lagu champion supernova? Kenapa?
Enggak, dia light skin. Tadi lu sebut Devin Booker, dia langsung ngaceng.
Oh, iya, iya, iya. Gue lupa nama lu.
Light skin advocate deh.
Enggak, I forgot his name is Jamet Kardashian.
Dan Denver isinya light skinnya baik banget. Reverse.
Oh, buset,
MPJ. Aaron Gordon.
Reverse tuh gak, reverse. MPJ itu gak bisa lebih light skin.
Iya, iya. Nah, soalnya kalau misalnya kayak MPJ udah light skin, anti-vax kan?
Itu udah aneh.
Iya, men. Wah, gila, men. Lalu.
Ini sebenarnya kalau misalkan ngelihat Suns sama Nuggets besok ya, maksudnya gue agak on the same page sama Loran, maksudnya the Suns team is well to balance ya, menurut gue defense maupun offense gitu kan. Cuman ya again, kalau gue ngeliat pribadi dari sisi offense Nuggets kan sebenarnya dari untuk apa ya, yang lebih eksplosif sebenarnya offense Nuggets kan, maksudnya terlepas dari punya Jokic, lu punya MPJ juga, and God knows tiba-tiba Austin Rivers catches fire gitu kan. But who knows dulu, cuman on a 7 game series gitu kan.
Yang tahu fans New York Knicks.
On a 7 game series, ya gue lebih percaya dengan Suns sih gitu kan. Even let's just say Chris Paul main dengan 50% kondisi kesehatan ya, karena kita gak tahu kondisi bahunya gimana gitu kan. Cuman ya secara skematis gitu kan, gue lebih ngeliat Nuggets mungkin bisa outperform Suns ya kan, dari sisi offense gitu kan. Tapi gue gak yakin defense Suns itu bakal batch up juga sih di offense Nuggets gitu loh. Karena gue lebih ngeliat bahwa Suns itu bisa lebih hold up ke Nuggets dibandingin kebalikannya gitu loh. Karena dari Jokic, MPJ gitu kan. Ada Austin Rivers dan Aaron Gordon juga gitu kan. Cuman ya kalau misalkan lihat bandingin roster Suns, lu pasti akan lebih percaya itu gitu loh dari sisi offense on a 7 game series.
Pertanyaannya, Fel.
Iya.
Yeah. Kalau misalnya Nuggets ketemu Suns and they are up 3 dengan gak ada waktu di shot clock and bola tiba-tiba di tangan Devin Booker, does Mike Malone foul or not?
Aduh, gue paling gini deh, paling gregetan kalau ada coach yang gak nge-foul itu. Jadi harusnya sih foul ya untuk coach untuk seukuran Mike Malone ya. Tapi kayak kita gak boleh manggil Mike deh, kan dia marah.
Oh, dia dipanggil sih?
Michael.
Dia kan Michael Malone, dia dipanggil Michael. Michael marah.
What's wrong with calling Mike?
Tapi it will be a fun series. So. Menurut gue sih.
Tapi gue ngerti sih. Editor kita namanya Pak Rama. If you call him Rama, he's gonna get pissed off. Pak Rama. In a 7 game series, you were saying.
Yeah, 7 game series. Tapi menurut gue pengen lihat sih ada continuation dari apa yang dilakukan sama Portland. I think Portland device a really interesting game plan lawan Jokic. They really force him to play one-on-one and limit their assists in earlier the series. Cuma gue gak yakin Portland itu punya kapabilitas untuk sprawling in the defensive rotation. Karena mungkin emang secara whole tidak diisi dengan much better defenders dibandingkan Phoenix. Phoenix kalau menurut gue, selain dia timnya balance, mereka tuh well coach juga.
Monty Williams is doing a great job.
So I think it will be an interesting series. Dan Abi juga udah bilang Chris Paul lawan Facundo Campazzo, man. Takes two to tango, man.
tapi gini ya, maksud gue untuk mengapresiasi kealfaan Chris Paul, ekspektasi gue sudah berubah. Karena melawan Lakers okay lah, gue I'm also at guilty as gitu. Gue termasuk yang wah nih gak bakal nih gitu. Obviously there was one big injury that helped that. Cuma kan maksud gue dengerin Big Was, gue dengerin podcastnya si Brian Windhorst kan. Ya semua tim juga ngalamin cedera, Denver Jamal Murray cedera, you cannot make excuses gitu kan. That being said, ekspektasi gue berbeda nih ketika lawannya Chris Paul bukan the defending champions gitu. Yang notabene punya ya satu dua unicorn lah ketika lawannya sang Jokic. So I am expecting the Suns to win. And I think sepositif-positifnya apa yang dicapai Chris Paul in his legacy dengan menang lawan sebuah tim LeBron, if the Suns don't win against the Nuggets, this is gonna be like 2015. Lu kalahin juara bertahan ya. Terus lu kalah lawan Josh Smith. Gue inget banget tuh. Gue tuh masih inget banget ya. They went, I think, didn't they go like 3-1 up first?
Yeah.
And then I think di game, was it di game 5? Austin Rivers masih main di Clippers kan. Terus dia ngata-ngatain James Harden, lo liat gak sih? Kayak he's doing the chef, the cooking gesture gitu kan. You got beat by Josh Smith, man. Ini akan sangat lucu kalau memang nanti kayak katanya Jamet, Austin Rivers yang bikin Chris kalah gitu. So I'm gonna hold it against him ya. Gitu kan, kayak sekarang justru tekanannya di dia gitu. Ternyata kalau misalnya ketika ada all of this onus and impetus untuk bisa lolos gak lolos ya, ya udah lagi-lagi debat soal, ya artikel lo di Medium yang bikin lo gue masukin ke boxan, mesti lo edit lagi sebenarnya gitu.
Dan kalau menurut gue sih, kalau dia lawan di playoff ini ya, dibandingkan sama series-series Chris Paul sebelumnya, menurut gue Devin Booker itu, has to be up there in terms of his postseason sidekick.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, the best teammate that he has lah.
Mm.
Dan satu duanya adalah James Harden sama Devin Booker. Cuma zamannya dia main sama Harden itu ketemu dinasti Warriors gitu.
Yeah.
Jadi gue akan setuju sama lo kalau I will expect the Suns to win. I will expect Devin Booker to go off.
Yeah. Oh yeah, sorry, Burat, I did make a mistake. Chris Paul pernah masuk conference final sama Rockets. That's so obvious.
Yeah, yeah.
That's on me. I take that.
Ya, yeah, NBA final sekarang kita ini targetnya.
Oke. See, I like this, that just doubling up gitu.
True stand.
Yeah, gitu.
Oke, okay, baik. We'll see what's gonna happen in that series. Oke, okay, enaknya. Oke, okay, mungkin kita ngomongin tim yang masih ada dulu. Ini series marquee matchup yang orang pada the take everybody is using adalah yang menang ini akan menjadi juara. Nets lawan Bucks. It is 1-0 to the Nets. It was a tight game, secara scoreline, first half. And then Nets just go on one of those runs.
Yeah.
And I think kayaknya the biggest storyline about this game adalah lagi-lagi, Coach Bud.
Favoritnya Jamet nih, Coach Bud juga.
Kayaknya itu memang pelatih itu, gimana ya? Stubbornness is a quality of a coach. So you can always see that sort of reverting di awal gitu loh. Kayaknya justru jarang, oke gue akan langsung do something differently gitu loh. Malah jadi agak beda sama Pep Guardiola gitu ya. Sorry ini reference bola gue udah kebanyakan ya.
You said 1-0.
Iya 1-0, iya.
Udah bola.
Kalau gue kepanjang lagi bilang tai aja gitu ya. Oh ya maaf gitu. Cuman ya itu dia, maksud gue ada beberapa yang obvious ya, soal minutes played, itu udah paling obvious. Apa yang lo gak suka dari Bucks ketika lawan Nets di pertandingan pertama?
Yang paling, gue yang paling gatel adalah kita kan tahu Bucks itu bisa dibilang trigger finger ya, maksudnya apalagi di game-game, di awal-awal pertandingan.
Bau banget.
Yang dimana, ya seakan-akan tuh lu ada fase di mana kalau misalkan Bucks on that first quarter all the shootings masuk gitu kan, ya you can guarantee mereka bakal menang gitu kan.
Cuman
di game kemarin kan bisa dibilang relatif standar lah, karena sampai akhir quarter pertama aja masih super tight game-nya kan. Cuman yang gue sangat sayangkan adalah, kan kita udah tahu maksudnya it's no rocket science gitu ya, bahwa buat Nets sama Bucks ini ada mismatch yang super kan. Lu punya Brook Lopez, sementara on the other side of court lu gak punya, Nets gak punya orang yang bisa menjadi jawaban dari situ gitu kan. Lu punya punya Bobby Portis juga, yang gue pikir bakal banyak dapat peran lebih gitu kan. Kalau misalkan lu mau coba attack that paint area gitu kan, Nets harusnya kesusahan. Meskipun juga ini props to Nets defense ya, karena ini gue juga jarang nonton game-nya Nets. Cuman ini salah satu yang gue bahwa ini super pesky gitu loh. Maksudnya
aktif banget, aktif banget.
They're not the greatest defenders, tapi dengan mereka mengganggu perputaran bulannya Bucks, ya ternyata efeknya sangat-sangat gede gitu. Dan juga yang gue sayangkan adalah Chris Middleton sama Jrue Holiday, ya basically they both have an off night. Yang dimana gak cuman dari sisi shooting mereka masuk atau enggak aja, bahkan shot selectionnya tuh diragukan lah. Dari yang biasanya permainannya Bud yang bisa dibilang bolanya lebih ngalir, especially on that around second quarter gitu kan. Ini dimana bola cuman muter 1-2 kali, tiba-tiba Jrue atau Middleton mereka drive in dan ya sama melakukan shoot-shoot yang aneh gitu loh. Dan
offensive stagnan banget. Itu sebenarnya gap yang gue paling rasakan, terlepas dari penyebabnya adalah betapa stagnannya offense-nya Bucks dan betapa fluidnya offense-nya Nets. Dan menurut gue that is a huge problem. Because di sisi yang satu offense-nya Bucks jadi culun banget. Di sisi lain when you have two of the best ISO players, actually three in the NBA, and they're moving the ball, ya apa yang bisa lo lakukan selain mengucap nama Allah gitu loh. Hey, and yang Muslim juga mainnya di Nets. Gitu loh, kayak, I mean, I think kayaknya Tuvelo sempat nge-touch, what kind of offensive adjustments that the Bucks need to do. Menurut gue sih, ultimately apapun yang ditempuh, gak bisa satu, harus variatif sebenarnya.
Ya, gue sempat nge-tweet juga kalau, kalau sebenarnya gue tuh gak suka banget di first half dan beberapa kali di second half itu Brook Lopez itu sangat mencari bola deep in the post.
Mm.
Gue tahu emang si lawannya ketika melakukan pick and roll mereka switch dan Brook Lopez got that smaller defender on him. Tapi gue lebih suka dia space the floor di corner dan ngebuka jalan buat Giannis.
Mm.
Giannis tuh menurut gue he's a terrific driver tapi dia belum se-advance itu untuk melakukan drive ketika ada orang di dunker spot gitu.
Hmm.
Itu menurut gue reserve for the most advanced.
Jadi dia gak mungkin pernah bisa main sama Andre Drummond gitu.
Yes,
kan. That's what you're trying to say kan.
Betul. Yeah, dan yeah, itu yeah, floor. Yeah. Makanya Brook Lopez ini sangat penting karena dia bisa ngisi 5 tapi bisa space the floor juga.
Yep.
Dan
ketika Splash Mountain.
Ya ketika itu kebuka, Giannis tuh kayak yang udah gue tweet juga, gak ada yang bisa nge-guard Giannis one on one di series ini kalau menurut gue. Even KD pun gak bisa. Dan kalaupun KD mau guard one on one, ya udah lo hajar aja terus supaya dia di offensive end capek gitu loh. Itu menurut gue agak pasif aja yang gue lihat di Bucks di game kemarin dan gue agak gergetan. Bucks ini sebenarnya tim yang on paper ini udah checks all the boxes gitu loh.
Hmm.
Apa perennial all star, MVP, coachnya juga coach of the year beberapa kali. Tapi entah kenapa eksekusi di lapangan itu selalu left us head scratching gitu. Kenapa nggak ini? Kenapa
lo mention soal positioningnya. Aduh gue pengen kasih satu lagi reference bola nih. Karena Juventus soalnya kayak tim lo gitu kan. Kan sebenarnya Brook Lopez itu dia main, dia nongol di corner 3 itu kan sebenarnya kayak Juventus dulu main Mandzukic jadi main sayap.
Betul, betul. White target man dia.
Tapi ya ngomongin soal penggunaan deployment Giannis. One adalah terkait dengan spacing dengan Brook Lopez. PhD dan menurut gue yang akan menjadi analis terbaik di Inside the NBA kalau udah pensiun, Raymond Green mention something on Twitter, lu jangan pakai Giannis keseringan in the pick and roll jadi handler. Gitu. Do you buy stock in that opinion?
I buy $1 million worth yes, of stock. Cause I believe Giannis itu kalau jadi role man, that guy is gonna be a beast kan. Film. Maksud gue kayak, I mean like you have Giroud, you have Chris Middleton yang kayak, if you dua pick and roll with Giannis as a role man, lo gak bisa go under gitu, karena they'll just pull up.
Hmm.
And then that creates decision making buat defender yang, secara notabene Nets in the playoff, they're defending the pick and roll, the worst team that's defending the pick and roll gitu.
Ah, oke.
Okay. Ketika role man yang nge-score, so basically you have an athletic freak, you use him, maksud gue mungkin harus tetap variatif, tapi at least use it more frequently lah.
Dan gue juga pengen lihat Giannis lebih egois sih, kayak, ada Joe Harris, ya sini dong Joe Harris, ayo main sama gue, ayo.
Hunting matchups.
Hunting matchups itu, kita hunting jarang matchup banget liat Giannis kayak gitu, man.
Yeah. Ini sebenernya, kayaknya emang Bucks ini, masalah otak aja sebenarnya.
Iya, iya. Masalah gitu, mentalitinya.
Kan? Sekarang mainnya tuh cuma otot aja gitu kan, kayak, gitu ya. Nets, adakah hal yang harus mereka improve, going into the second game? Atau lihat Bucks ngapain dulu?
Sebenarnya kalau misalkan berkaca dari game 1, yang bisa gue bilang adalah gimana caranya Nets bisa paksa Bucks buat main cepet terus kan. Karena kan kayak pas di akhir quarter 2 sama awal quarter 3 kan sebenarnya Nets ngebunuhnya di sana kan.
Mm.
Jadi mau gimana pun caranya Bucks coba main pelan diajak cepet lagi sama Nets. Begitu Bucks coba ikutan cepet malah makin kocar kacir lagi kan.
Mm.
Jadi rasanya sih ngeliat dengan gimana Bucks main di game 1 kemarin itu sebenarnya sampel size yang cukup ngeri gitu kan. Bahwa kalau misalkan Nets bisa keep itu ya tanpa perlu mencoba hal yang aneh-aneh lah ya gitu kan. Dengan memaksa Bucks buat main cepet. Dan atau kalau misalkan Bucks coba main lambat. Selalu dipaksa buat main cepet. Harusnya ya itu udah. It's more than enough. You have KD, you have Kyrie. Even tanpa Harden pun lu ada Joe Harris juga gitu kan ya. Harusnya that should do enough.
Iya gue jujur. Kesimpulan gue dari pertandingan sample saya satu adalah. This is the next series to lose ya. Sesimpel itu sih. Kayak it is the Bucks yang harus immaculate in every aspect of the game, in defense and going forward, and that's just scary because like you mentioned, James Harden got that man, and they're not exactly less harder to beat without
game
Harden.
Game 2 gak ada lagi, gak ada Harden juga.
yang cuma jamet what I did. Right? They're always hard, even when Harden's not playing.
Pun count.
Okay, okay, okay. Lakers post-mortem. Saab sahaba sih alasan-alasan Lakers dengan Anthony Davis out.
Kalau udah cedera susah sih.
Uh-huh.
Okay, I mean,
because they were cooking sebenarnya sebelum.
Cooking, they were cooking. Like game four, right? Game three, season four. Kita juga udah kayak, and do we internally when we spoke on WhatsApp, kayak do we call time of death for the Suns gitu, game five. Tapi ternyata ada yang ketarik selangkangannya. Susah.
Iya, 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 iya. It's like, ya gue udah ngeliat sih kan, any kind of loss involving LeBron James kan, wah, Skip Bayless tuh langsung kayak just his hands on his dick and he's like, shut, you know kan, udah bukake gitu kan. Tapi again, you know, there's always that tanda bintang yang sangat menjulang gitu loh, which makes any kind of discussion interesting. Gini deh, kan LeBron nih udah ngomong bahwa gue udah gak bisa maksimal lagi. Right? He also says, you know, yang gak ada off season ya. Menurut lo dia ngefur kan sih ngomong kayak gitu? I know father time is an enemy. I wouldn't be surprised if it's true. But come on lah, dia ngomong kayak itu ngefur kan? Iya lah kan. That's supaya ketika dia kembali tuh like, wah gitu kan. That's like having your excuse to when nanti lo mencoba lagi dan tahu-tahunya gagal, you still have that excuse because it's valid. Yeah, gue udah lewat.
A good professional always manages expectation.
LeBron tuh masternya mengendalikan narasi gitu. He always undersell gitu kan. Dan he always...
Mata Najwa gak ada apa-apa yang sama mata LeBron. Gak ada. Narasi memang.
Udah buat narasi buat musim depan udah di plan dari sekarang.
That's why ya Spring Hill Entertainment.
Spring Hill Entertainment.
Yeah. Right? Gue tuh bahkan merasa ketika nonton dia lawan Suns kemarin from his body language and everything. It's like, shit man, like this you can actually cut stock footage from this game, lo pakai jadi kayak adegan ketika Charles Barkley lawan Patrick Ewing di Space Jam 1, tau gak sih? Kekuatannya diambil gitu, jadi di Staples Center tuh monster sudah berkumpul gitu. Ah, gitu kan.
Gue aja kaget, LeBron pas keluar post game conference gak pakai walking boot gitu. Aduh, gue cedera banget.
Iya, atau S gitu kan.
Aduh, gue cedera banget. Man. Ya, credit to the Suns. Gue aja kaget.
Iya. Foto-foto sama Devin Booker. The future, the league is good hands. Kayak tiba-tiba, okay, sekarang narasinya bukan saya washing, tapi saya ini kebapakan.
I'm handing over the Tom, gitu.
Aduh. but seriously, you can use footage from that game and you cut it into an opening montage for Space Jam 2, man. Like, oh look, he's so washed gitu kan. And he goes ke dunia digital. Space Jam tuh sebenernya agak kayak Digimon lagi sebenernya. Kalau dipikir-pikir kan. Kalo gitu mesti don't cheadle. Don't cheadle anjing gitu kan. Tuh kan, dan lo notice gak sih pemain-pemain yang di Space Jam kan udah lagi out semua kan. Yang cowoknya.
Yeah.
Right? Anthony Davis is out. Dame is out. Clay is freaking out. So,
gantinya Madden Curse kali ini. Space Jam Curse.
Udah itu aja. Udah mau sejam. Ada lagi yang mau disampaikan atau lupa gue bahas atau gimana?
Oh, I want to give a shout out to Travis Schlenk.
Oh, ini ya GMC Hawks ya.
Ya, lupa tadi ngomong. Lulusannya Warriors kan. I think ya, he's building a great team lah. Round 3.
Basically dia one up apa yang, apa namanya waktu Bob Myers lakuin di Warriors kan. To some level gitu, karena ya kita udah bego-begoin, ngapain sih lu datengin bok-bok, lu nyiptain masalah sendiri dengan roster yang terlalu dalam gitu kan, but well, it pays off sejauh ini.
Right. So, yeah man, Travis Schlenk is better than Travis Scott.